Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. This is the second podcast episode on the Car HMI Europe 2023 that was conducted by WeConnect 3 weeks ago, mid-June 2023 in Berlin at the Titanic Chausseestraße. I gave you a quick overview over the, discussions over the presentations that were given in the last episode. And if you're interested in what's going on there, what was going on there, then you can send me an email under podcast@beyond-hmi.de or any other email address that you may have, or on LinkedIn you can send me a message if you want to have the report. It's a written report, about 15 pages, with many other details, many other things we have discussed there. And it's free. So just send me a mail and you will receive your copy of that report. As I said last time in the podcast on, let's say, the main event, the main podcast, I had the honor of giving a so-called World Cafe workshop. And in this episode, I want to talk about the results, what we discussed there, the major takeaways that we had. So all the things that we discussed in these 5 rounds of a World Cafe. For those of you that don't know the World Cafe format for workshops, it is usually used to create things. So if you are got stuck with a product development, or you have the feeling that you should have a closer look at possible innovation at your company, what are we going to do next kind of question, if you have that one, a World Cafe is a very nice format to do so. It basically works like you have a certain amount of groups, depending on the number of people you have in your creativity group. The minimum number should be 4 to 5 groups, and you should have at least 3 to 5 people per group. And then these people come to you and with groups, and then they stand around a whiteboard or a flip chart, and then they discuss a certain thing and find solutions for a question that you have. Then one person stays at the flip chart or the whiteboard, and all the others move to the next station, to the next cafe that you have. And so you circle around until everyone worked on every cafe. And if a new group arrives, the person that stays there summarizes the results of the group before. And based on that, the other groups conduct their workshop hour and bring that in. And WeConnect adapted that format for their conferences. They are, as far as I know, the only ones that do this. And it's always, I mean, for the people that run the workshop, it's a pretty exhausting exercise that you do, because it's 5 rounds of 30 minutes each, meaning 2.5 hours working with the participants. There is the lunch break in between, which makes it a little easier to stand. But at the end of the day, you have 2.5 hours that you closely work with the people, and there are between 5 and 15 people showing up, and you discuss with them, you put down the results, and then the next group comes and discusses either on the same topic or a different topic based on the results of the group before. I like this workshop format because it's a very intense work. It creates a lot of knowledge, and it allows me to make contact with a higher number of people. And so it was a good exercise. I liked it, and a very, very good thing. And the thing we talked about, that is the topic of discussion we had, was the HMI issues, human machine interface issues, usability, user experience on different levels of automated driving. So that was the idea. And I thought level 0 and level 1 based on SAE. So I'm working with the SAE J3016 levels, and 0 and 1 are, let's say, regular driving. And there's tons of HMI issues, usability, user experience issues we still have even on that level. But that is somehow not really depending on the automation. And so I wanted to discuss automation specific levels, and so I discussed 2 to 5 based on SAE, but this is just 4 rounds. And for the 5th round, I thought, hey, what is beyond level 5? What do we have? Is there a level 6? And if there is a level 6, how does it look like? What do drivers, users, humans do on level 6? So those were the 5 rounds, 2 to 6. And we were discussing all these things of usability, user experience, HMI issues on these different levels. I believe that the automation of the driving process is completely redefining the relationship between driver and car, between human and rolling robot. Up to now, we have automated many things in cars, like automated gearboxes, rain sensors, window lifters. All that is automated on different levels. What we see today is that we grab into the core relationship, that we redefine the core driving procedure. So the lateral and longitudinal control of the car on the road and in traffic. This will have consequences on the HMIs, on the interiors, on the entire relationship between car and driver, and the entire technology, the architecture. Let's put it that way, on the architecture of the interaction between car and driver. And this is why I believe this is super important to talk about it, to think about it. And so I brought this one up, and I've talked quite a bit about all these issues here in the podcast connected to automation. But since that is something really, really new, I think I can't talk enough about all these things. All right. Let's start with these levels. So I had for each of the 5 levels that I have identified that I wanted to have a look at. I had a group between 5 and 15 people. They showed up there, and we discussed this in a pretty, pretty casual manner. Let's start with SAE level 2. This means the car is doing longitudinal and lateral control by itself in certain situations, in well-defined traffic situations, and well-defined contexts. And the driver needs to be in the control loop all the time. So they need to be in the loop, and no doubt about it. I see level 2 as a highly dynamic relationship between car and driver. So the car is doing something, and suddenly the lane markers end, and then you have a beep tone, and then you have to take over as a driver. So it's very dynamic. So it's constantly changing. So it's basically the question, first of all, who is doing what and what's going to happen next? How long will that last, that this car will do things by itself. I've been driving level 2 cars, different level 2 cars in the past months, and the thing here, one of my major problems is that very often the solutions we see today in cars are, let's put it in a friendly way, and that they have room for improvement. It's far from being optimal, and sometimes very, very confusing what you see there. And this was one of the points we discussed. We got into this pretty quick. And so one of the key results, the key takeaways we had, was that we need standards in the HMI design. So we need a universal design language that shall be applied over all brands. And this includes the ISO telltales, so that you have a number of safety relevant, driving relevant icons. You know the telltales from the indicators, from the headlights, from the seat belts. So they, in every car you have more or less the same icon on this. And they are defined by the ISO, the International Standardization Organization. And so the clear takeaway is we need this for icons on automated driving as well. So the standard, the timing behavior shall be standardized. So how will handovers be made? How will takeovers be designed? How can we do this? And today you sometimes have simple drop-off in different situations. So I drove a car lately that on level 2 was able to brake down to zero. So if there is a car in front of me and it brakes in a traffic jam, for example, down to 0 kilometers or miles per hour, then it's, that does this as well. And a few days later, I drove one that drops it at 20 kilometers per hour. And suddenly an icon pops up with a foot stepping on a brake and saying, hey, it's your turn now. You have to brake now. I don't do anything anymore. And first of all, the second version is definitely not a very nice behavior. And it is totally different from the behavior of the first car that I was driving a few days earlier. And that was the key takeaway. We need standardizations on these timing behaviors. One communication mode shall be designed carefully and used in all cars. So again, the standardization, overall cars. And one key takeaway, and I think this was because there were many researchers, university researchers and industry researchers in the group or in a different, in that particular group, they said we need more research. And I can fully support this. We need to know more to understand the dynamics in the interaction between car and driver on level 2. The next group then discussed level 3. So level 3 is basically like level 2, but you are allowed to pull yourself, if you are the driver, you are allowed to pull yourself out of the control loop. So the car is doing lateral and longitudinal control in a certain number of well-defined situations. And you can let the car drive and then pick up your smartphone and check your mails, or take a tablet and do things, or take an e-book reader and read a book. And yeah, all those activities you are allowed to do if you are able to return to the driving task within a couple of seconds. So this is the definition of level 3, basically, that you can return in a short time, and the automotive industry so far has agreed on times between 3 and 5 seconds. One problem here is there is research showing that until you have a full situational awareness in a car, in a complex traffic situation, it may take up to 120 seconds. So that is enormous. There's an enormous difference between these two figures, 5 seconds on one side, 120 on the other side. So yes, big problem. And so we define three meshes. So we define three key takeaways. The first one is user training. And I find this even on level two very good, but it came up on level three that we need to train users. When I'm driving one of these cars, at least a little introduction telling me, hey, this car is doing this and this is doing that, and these are the dangerous points, and this is where it doesn't work properly. Take care of this and that. That would be very good and very safe to have this, to create an awareness that this car is driving and to create an understanding what it is capable to do. This car can brake to zero or it cannot. If somebody tells you up front, hey, this car will break down until 20 kilometers per hour and then drop the driving test. If you know that, it is not that nasty anymore and you can cope with this. Then, also, same thing like on level two, it came up that a well-defined and research-based timing of the handover procedure needs to be applied. So not only just dropping the task and then doing this thing, but it is important that there is a one single handover procedure that is working all of our brands, car brands. That is always the same, that is standardized, and that is based on research results, not on technological capabilities, not on marketing input, but it is defined on research. And the third one, pretty similar, giving multimodal and complete information. So the device is interacting let's put it the other way around. If we allow the driver to pull out of the driving loop and he or she takes a smartphone or a tablet or an e-book reader, that device shall be connected to the car. And Mercedes Trucks came up with this idea already a few years ago, 6, 7 years ago. And I said, okay, if you're allowed to work with one specific device that is somehow connected to the vehicle, then you can show on the device a hint, maybe even a detailed, or not too detailed, but a description saying, hey, there is something in front of the car I can't identify, please take over. Or I see the end of the lane markers coming. Please prepare to take over because I will not be able to drive. Then the driver gets pointed towards the real important points, towards during the handover, you can work out where the focus of the driver shall be in the next seconds. So the device, the smartphone or the e-book reader or the tablet, shall be part of the multimodal warning system. On level four is like level three, but with longer handover times. So the car can drive basically everything by itself. So the number of driving situations is pulled up to almost everything. And the takeover times are not seconds but minutes, which is a slightly different scenario. And these cars will be able to drive. They will almost be from a technical level. Level four cars will be almost on level five on fully autonomous driving. This may then end up with a situation that the handover situation is very, very seldom. So maybe you drive 2 or 3 or 4 years in such a car without ever driving manually. And then the drivers may have difficulties in finding and using the required controls. They will fear to fail, they will feel insecure. All those were the points we discussed in that group. And we were feeling pretty unsafe about thinking about such a procedure. And so solution may be that you avoid transaction at all, That means moving up to level 5 directly, to fully autonomous driving, no interference ever required. Second one, the second key takeaway was design a smooth transition with a lot of support if possible. So being very limited in the choices drivers can make, indicating him or her what buttons to be pressed, how this or that should be used, so that you warm up. I mean, we have a few minutes, so that you have at least a little warm up and explain the problems in an appropriate way, so that it is clear what to do, and support users in what to do. And use a context-sensitive and transparent communication. Communicate well to the users and tell them exactly what to do. Yeah, and then we moved on to level 5 with the next group. And when I have a look at these people mover concepts that are shown there, I mean, to be honest, I find them very often as sexy as a dentist surgery. This is not what we want. I mean, we have a seat in there and maybe we have some handles and people sit or stand on these people movers and they're moved around, they're driven around. And to me, it always looks like we are driving around empty rooms. The alternative could be that, I mean, we know where the user is. We know the posture. We have a good idea about what the needs are, what people really want to do in these cars, in these rolling boxes. And so we could do much more in this. This was the basic discussion point. We can do more than just transporting human bodies around. And one thing we discussed was, can we design some inputs to control the driving style of the vehicle? How can passengers indicate that a change of the route is required? So I'm sitting in one of these cars that drives me from A to B, and suddenly I receive a call and somebody tells me, no, you need to go to C first and not to B. And then you need to change the route. How can you do this? Or if you need a bio break, or if you want to buy some food. And that, those are the points. And then we also discussed on how the entire entertainment or edutainment or education can be controlled. Do we move everything to private devices, or do we, or can we use the fact that we have this vehicle infrastructure and is a fully connected car, it is fully autonomous, and we may have big windows and we have comfortable seats, and is there a chance to use that to create an extra portion of user experience? The interior shall adapt to the use cases, the preferences, locations we are in. And once we discuss this, it's all about personalization. So the entire experience shall be personalized, from booking a vehicle to the your car use cases, down to payments and feedback procedures, and everything shall be personalized in this. Yeah, and with the last group, with the fifth group, I discussed level 6 of autonomous driving. So what is beyond this? And of course, this is not defined in an SAE standard. SAE stops at level 5. I invented that one to stimulate the thinking of what is beyond what we see today, beyond today's ideas of driving. There were a couple of ideas. So one said, okay, if we drive fully autonomously our bodies on level 5, then level 6 may be the travel of souls instead of our human bodies. So making travel fully imaginary and fully digital, this could be level 6. Another participant said that level 6 could be like being carried around like a toddler on the back of his or her parents. So you don't need to think, you don't need to make any decision making, but you always have the feeling of full safety, and you will always arrive where you want to be and where it is good for you. So this, I found this picture pretty interesting of saying, okay, can we move travel, even physical travel, to a level that I don't even know that I want to travel. I don't know where to go, but I will always end up where I love to be and always have a positive and fruitful and nice user experience. And the last idea we discussed was that level 6, maybe level 0. And I mean, if until we have level 5 fully implemented, it would take at least 30 to 50 years from now on. And then level 6, next level beyond this. And then maybe driving on level 0, meaning being in full control of the car, being able to drive it, to press a pedal and to accelerate and to press another pedal to brake and to have a steering wheel near, that may be a totally exciting and new user experience. And this is a bit like the situation we have with horses today. So they were the major mobility device until about 150, 120 years ago, and then they were replaced by cars. And today, riding a horse is an expensive hobby. And maybe that is the analogy we can use for future mobility on level 6. And okay, if you want to drive by yourself, you need a driving license, you need a car, you need to go to a closed track, you need to do this and this and that. And by the way, it is super expensive. But since you are a rich guy and it is your hobby, you will be ready to pay for this. Yes, this was a quick summary of the workshop, of the Gewerkt Café workshop I gave at the Car HMI 2023. I found it very inspiring. A couple of new thoughts came up. I always learn when I'm together with these participants in this kind of workshop format, and I enjoy it. And I hope I could transport that with the major results that we have on the different levels from level 2 to level 6. Don't forget, I can't repeat it often enough, there is this report available. If you want to have a copy, send me an email, let me know about it. You will receive a free copy by email. That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.